Sterling, and welcome to Theology Now.
Good day, everyone. Welcome back. We'll be taking a look at a topic today that is a little controversial. After my discussion on tithing, I got a few emails wondering what then were our guidelines. Indeed, one may get the idea that the New Testament doesn't have much to say on the topic of money or giving. This, however, would be quite incorrect. While, as I noted in the discussion on tithing, the New Testament only mentions tithing three times, twice in the Gospels and once in Hebrews, it is far from quiet on the topic of money or giving. There are four principal Pauline passages that deal with giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1 through 4, 1 Corinthians 9:1 through 23, Philippians 4:15 through 17, and 2 Corinthians 8 through 9. Although this last one is slightly long, it's still worth the read. The primary text I want to look at now is 1 Corinthians 16:1 through 4. Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. Although one dare not try to use this text to support tithing, in it we can find several general principles about giving. The first principle that I want to note is that giving is something that should occur regularly. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, we read, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income." Based on biblical evidence, and extra-biblical evidence for that matter, it would appear that the early church met weekly, on Sunday to be exact. It would be safe to say, then, that Paul wanted the Corinthian believers to give an offering when they met together to worship every week. Now, in some countries, this works well, as people are still paid daily or weekly. However, in countries such as the United States, where one may receive pay biweekly or monthly, regular periodic giving is still possible. The second principle is that giving is something particular. Again, returning to 1 Corinthians 16:2, we read again, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income." It is between God and the believer. Just as one's relationship with Christ is personal and salvation is personal, so is giving. And this makes sense, as Jesus took what was black and white in the Old Testament and he made it a matter of the heart in the New Testament. Murder was a sin in the Old Testament, but being angry with a brother is now the measure in the New Testament, something that is based on the heart. The same with adultery. It's no longer the action, but what is in the heart. The third principle that we find in this text is that giving in the New Testament is relative to income. Again, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 16:2. "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income." Again, in keeping with his income. The ESV states, "as he may prosper." The ISV states, "in proportion to what you have." I like how simply this is stated. Any one of these translations simply notes that giving should be relative to one's income. Someone who is barely making it but still wants to give is not bound by the same percentage as someone who earns significantly more and has a surplus. If one earns a lot, then the idea is that she should be giving more. This, of course, should be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, just as a side note, this would have been a perfect place for Paul to bring in the subject of tithing. However, he does not. This simply reinforces the idea that tithing is not a New Testament principle. The fourth principle that I want to note is that one should give generously. Again, in 1 Corinthians 16:2, the word states, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." And in 2 Corinthians 8:2 through 3, the word states, "Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." These texts are interesting. They again reinforce the idea that giving has now become a matter of the heart rather than black and white. But now they place the onus on the believer. Now one can truly see the heart of the believer. There will be those who only give 1% or 2%, although they have the resources to give exceedingly more. And there will be those who give 15 or 20% who really do not have any extra to give. The change from a law to voluntary giving exposes the heart of the believer. Although one cannot justify the continuation of tithing in the New Testament has much to say about giving. As we have just learned, we have a model of giving in the New Testament which places the onus on the believer. The model we have is that each one of us should be giving an offering regularly and generously, one that is in accordance with one's income, and one that is voluntary. Hey, thanks for listening. Don't forget to stop back regularly to check for new episodes or hit the subscribe button. May God bless you and may His face shine upon you.